I'm thankful for that, the message of that song. Amen. Thank you, Brother Curtis. Appreciate that so much. We're in 1 Peter, if you have your Bible. 1 Peter, we started a series in the book of 1 Peter last week. We got to the first two verses. We learned that we're strangers in a strange land. If you're a child of God and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to the world, you're weird. You're a stranger. And we're scattered abroad in this world to spread the light, just as that song talked about, letting that light shine through us. And that's the whole purpose, is to be a light for Jesus. I was reading a story. Max Lucado was sharing. It was a personal story of his that he learned how to survive a hurricane in a boat. Now, I don't know about you, but I would hate to be in a boat during a hurricane. But he found himself in that situation, and he got some advice from an old seaman who told him to go into deep water, drop four anchors off the side of the boat, each corner, and pray that the anchors hold. Well, you know, he survived the storm. His boat survived the storm. But he said, as a result of that experience, he learned a very valuable lesson. And that is this, that all of us need an anchor to hold us during the storms of life. And that's going to be the message this morning, an anchor to hold us during the storms of life. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe with all of my heart that that anchor is hope. That anchor of the soul is hope. I'm going to explain more about that in the message. And I know every single one of us here today, whoever you are, You've had bad days. You've been through some storms in your life. Some of you may have been through a long line of storms that seem non-ending in your life. But I want to tell you that we have an anchor that will hold during the storm. You know, it's been said that a person can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, and about 3 minutes without air. But a person cannot live 1 second without hope. Without hope. I want to tell you this morning that hope is like oxygen is to our body. Our hope is to our spirits what oxygen is to our bodies. If we don't have enough oxygen to breathe, we're going to die. We were in Taos yesterday, and I was in this store, and it was a mountain sports type store, hiking type store, and I was just walking around browsing and passing time, and I saw these cans of pure oxygen, 95% pure oxygen. And for those of us on the flatlands, and you go to the mountains, you get altitude sickness, you can take and give a shot of oxygen. And I got a clever idea. I thought, man, that might be good when I run. Carry that with me. I can just have some oxygen. But, you know, I tell you, you can't live without oxygen. You cannot live without oxygen. And you cannot live without hope. When hope is gone, for all intents and purposes, your life is gone. Your life is over. You know, we live in a society today where people lose hope. They end their lives. Hope is important. It is important. It is an anchor of the soul. I know we're going to be in 1 Peter, but I want to just share a verse with you before we read verses 3 through 12 in 1 Peter. In this verse, you can write it down. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it in Proverbs 13:12. The book of Proverbs says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. This word deferred means to postpone or something being drawn out. If something that you put your hope in, your expectation, if there's something you're waiting for, you're desiring, you're longing, you're something you've set your hope in, and if it keeps getting further and further away, drawn away from you, it keeps getting postponed from being fulfilled, the Bible says here that it'll make your heart sick. It'll make your heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You know, there are a lot of people today with unfulfilled desires in their lives. Blasted hope. A lot of heart sick people in the world as a result. Perhaps you're one of them this morning. If so, my heart goes out to you, because there's nothing worse. There's no worse sickness. I'm telling you, there is no worse sickness than hopelessness. Being heart sick. The unfortunate part about people that lose hope or are heart sick, like the Bible teaches, the unfortunate thing is they fail to turn to God. They fail to find the hope that's an anchor for the soul. Even Christians can get sidetracked in life. They can get off in life and begin to lose hope. And we have to go back to the hope that we have in Christ. And that's exactly what Peter's doing here. Remember, last week as we introduced this epistle, these are Christians that were scattered because of persecution. They were going through intense tribulation. They were going through persecution, fiery trials. They were suffering for the faith. And Peter is writing this letter to encourage them. Remember, there are four things we talked about last week in this epistle. There's suffering. But then he talks about grace. Aren't you glad for God's grace? You know, to take us through suffering, His grace is all sufficient. But then we talked about glory. You know, there's glory to look forward to. If you're a child of God, you're saved. This suffering is just for a season. It's just for a short time, because it's not to be compared to the glory that's shall be revealed in us. The scripture tells us that. But you know, remember the fourth thing was hope. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is hope. Let's read in verse 3, in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it was testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister to things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this lively hope that you have given to those of us that have been born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful that we have a hope that's an anchor for our soul. Lord, I know Peter here is trying to encourage these believers that we're going through intense trials, and I'm sure many of them were beginning to think there was no end to it. Many of them maybe was beginning to lose hope and becoming heartsick. Lord, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit led Peter to write these inspired words to not only encourage those believers in the first century, but to give us some truth for today, to show us that we do have an anchor that will hold during any storm in life. Lord, we're thankful for that anchor, the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, there may be those here today that are without God, they're without Christ, they're without hope. They do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I pray for them today that through this message, through your word, that you might help them to see Jesus for all he is and for all that he's done for us on the cross. And Lord, I pray for every child of God here today, Lord, that you'd help us to see that no matter what we're going through, no matter the suffering or the trial, that you're aware of everything. You're aware of the storm that we may be going through, and you've given us an anchor to hold us through the storm. Thank you for that, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. You know, as I said, I believe the anchor of the soul is hope in Christ. And I want you to, if you'll hold your place here, if you'll just look back to a couple of books to your left, to Hebrews in chapter number 6. I want to show you something that is really important to what I'm saying this morning, because you may say, well, Pastor, I think the hope of the soul is faith, and you might have some idea, but I want you to see what I'm saying is scriptural. It's what the Scripture teaches us here in verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, he says that by two immutable things, in the which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, I want to just explain very briefly that verse. It can be confusing just reading it on the surface, but it's talking about those of us who have fled to Jesus for refuge. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is the Savior of the world. He is our hope. And if we fled to him, here he's saying that he's based on some of the Old Testament. He's given an Old Testament example in the previous context and how that God made an oath and he cannot lie. What God promises, listen to me, God will keep it. God is faithful. What we're going to look at in 1 Peter, I want you to know that what God promises is in the Scripture. It's not a hope so. There's not any uncertainty of it being fulfilled at all, because God cannot lie. It's a hope, as Hebrews says, that is an anchor of the soul. And he says both sure and steadfast. Sure means it's certain. You can rest upon it that this anchor is going to hold through the storm. It's not going to give way. It's not going to break. It's going to hold us. It's sure. It's certain. It's steadfast, meaning that it's going to endure through the storm. That's the kind of hope we have in Christ. That's the kind of hope. Let's go back to 1 Peter. You know, Peter was, again, writing to these scattered believers that were scattered. Verse 1 says, throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, they were scattered because of the persecution. You read about it in Acts chapter 8, when persecution came on the church. Believers were scattered everywhere. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. And so these believers are scattered, and everywhere they go, they're being persecuted. They're facing fiery trials. And Peter's writing to them as individual believers. This is not to a church like most of the epistles in the New Testament, but he's writing these to individual believers that are scattered out there, persecuted, going through fiery trials. He's trying to encourage them. And here in these verses we read this morning, that he's trying to point them back to their anchor. He's saying, listen, you have an anchor that will hold you through these storms. You have an anchor that he calls here a lively hope. I touched upon that a little bit last week. This word lively, it speaks of living in the sense of a strong and vigorous, energetic type of life. The hope that we have, it's living, it's alive, it's energetic, it gives us strength to endure the storm. That's the kind of hope we have. It's not, like I said, it's not some kind of hope. So, you know, today, the hope, when we talk about hope, there's a sense of uncertainty with it. It's kind of like if I ask some of you Dallas Cowboy fans, do you think the Cowboys are going to go to the Super Bowl this year? Come on, Eli, you can say amen to that. You know, you say, are they going to win the Super Bowl this year? And you know what? Most Cowboy fans will say, I hope so. You know, there's no certainty about it. It's just like, I hope they win. But listen, the hope that he talks about in the Word of God is not that kind of hope at all. And in fact, it's very different. And if you'll go back to Hebrews again, in chapter 6, there's a verse 11, just a little bit up from where we read a moment ago. In verse 11, Hebrews 6, he says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, I want you to notice this phrase, the full assurance of hope. To the end. The kind of hope the scriptures talk about throughout the New Testament is full assurance. There's certainty. Certainty. It's going to be fulfilled. You know, Peter writes in chapter 1, verse 13, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, hope to the end. He's not saying that you should have some kind of uncertainty about it, some kind of hope so. No, he's talking about full assurance. He's saying we can hope to the end because we have an anchor, both sure and steadfast. And Peter, in chapter 3, in verse 15, he talks about that this is this hope that we have. He said that we're not to be ashamed of it, but every man that asketh a reason of you for the hope that is in you. I mean, you need to be ready to give an answer. I'm just paraphrasing. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you. This hope is not uncertain. It's full assurance of faith. It's certain. It's an anchor that holds. Now, you remember the story talking about Max Lucado. He was out in that boat. He had four anchors out of each of the four corners of that boat. I want to show four things here that Peter gives us about our living hope. It's really one anchor that we have in Christ, but I want you to see there's four things here about this hope that holds us in the storm. In verse 3, we have a sure hope. It's a sure hope. A sure hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How do we obtain this sure hope? Where does it originate? Well, we see it originated with God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he starts out, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This hope begins with God. There's no certain hope without God. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 2, they were without God, without hope. If you don't have God, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have hope. Simple as that. I mean, it originates with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's obtained through a new birth. Notice what he says, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again. Begotten, what does that mean? It's talking about birth. Eli and his wife, she's fixing to be a baby. The baby's going to be born. You know, he's talking about begotten again, meaning a second birth. All of us here this morning, you've been born once at least. You've been born once. You've experienced physical birth. You're here. But he's talking about the second birth, spiritual birth, a birth from above. And listen, this birth, you don't earn it by your works. It's according to what? His abundant mercy. We're born again, how? According to his abundant mercy. God showed abundant mercy to us, whereas we deserve wrath. We deserve judgment because of our sin. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He went to the cross to pay for our sins, to purchase for us eternal life. Think about that. And it's something we receive by faith. It's by faith. We just reach out by faith. Faith is the hand of the heart. The heart reaching out and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, clinging to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it says we are begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know why it's a sure hope? You know why I know my hope is certain? Because Jesus lives. You know, there's some people that put their hope in religion. Muslims, they're putting their hope in Islam. That Muhammad is their prophet. They're putting their hope in him. But listen, Muhammad is still in the grave. He's dead. Some people, Hindus, they're putting their faith in their religion. But listen, Christianity, true Christianity, our hope is in a living Savior. He rose from the dead the third day. And it's a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, Jesus told his disciples, ye live because I live. He's alive. He's a living Savior. It's you know why he can fulfill this promise to save us to the end? Because he's alive. He's alive, seated on the right hand of the Father. He's able to save us to the end. But you know, it's not just the sure hope we have. We see in verse 4, it's an eternal hope. It's an eternal hope. Notice what he says. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. So he's talking about a lively hope that we have. And he explains that this hope is an inheritance. You know, we all think we'd like to get a great inheritance on this earth. But listen, this is an inheritance far better. He said this is it's an eternal hope. He said we have been given a hope to an inheritance. To an inheritance. It's reserved. It's kept for us. It can't be lost. God is keeping it for us. You know, this word, well, we'll get to that in a moment, kept, but let's back up to incorruptible. He's talking about inheritance. Incorruptible. You know what this means? Nothing can ruin our inheritance. Nothing. You may get an inheritance in this life, Let's say you inherit a car or property. Listen, those things are not enduring. Those things, eventually they'll corrupt. Eventually they'll pass away. But the hope we have is eternal. It's incorruptible. It can never be ruined. And it's undefiled, he says. It can't be stained or cheapened in any way. It's not affected by sin. Because we're talking about heaven here. We get a hope that's in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven, where everything's perfect. There's no sin there. It's undefiled. And notice, it fadeth not away. It fadeth not away. It's never going to grow old, because it's eternal. It can never disappoint us. You know, I preached a series on heaven, talking about this new heaven, new earth. All the old has passed away. And we won't even care about the old. We won't even care about things of this earth anymore. We don't even care about Dallas Cowboys anymore, or the Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't care about those things. I mean, heaven's going to be so wonderful. I mean, it's a place that fades not away. And I love this part, though. Reserved in heaven for you. If you are born again, if you've experienced a second birth, that birth from heaven above, you have a hope, an eternal hope, reserved in heaven for you in the form of an inheritance. It's reserved. You know, I've traveled, and sometimes you get to a motel and the reservation got mixed up. How many of you that's happened? You get there and it's, what? It's late at night and you got to find somewhere else to go. Well, I had a reservation. It happened to me and my wife just this year. We were going through San Angelo. We spent tonight and coming back from Austin. And I had a reservation. We get there, and the guy said, the room that they gave you, it's dirty. It's not clean. The people didn't leave until late in the day. And so there's no other rooms. I can't give you a room. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to refund your money. I was like, what? You know, that's this life. But listen, in heaven, we have a reservation. If you're born again, you're saved, it's reserved for you. So it's an eternal hope, but it's also an enduring hope. I want you to notice in verse 5, it's an enduring hope. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. You know, not only is our inheritance reserved for us by God, I want you to think about this. Please think with me. Our reservation is secure. It's secure. God has secured it for us. And God don't make any mistakes. God doesn't lie, remember? But not only is the reservation secure, but guess what? We are secure. If you're a born-again child of God, you are kept, he says, by the power of God. This is such a great verse. We are being kept by God for our inheritance. And listen, there's a lot of people in this world today who profess Christ as their Savior who do not believe in eternal security. Eternal security means this. It means that once we are born again, that we are kept saved by God. That He loses none of us. If we come to Jesus Christ and we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, He's going to save us. He's going to keep us. Now, there are many verses we can go to, but I'm just going to bank right here. If this is all I had, it's all I'd need. Because this word kept means to guard, to protect. It's a military word. And it's saying here that I am guarded by the power of God. Think about that. I'm not kept by myself. I don't keep myself saved. I can't. I'm a sinner. I'm still in the flesh. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I have God's power in me. And if I yield to the Holy Spirit and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live like He wants me to. I'm going to be Christ-like. But if I'm not walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in the flesh, He still keeps me. He guards me. And that Holy Spirit still is pursuing me and still convicting me and saying, listen, you need to get right. You need to go in the path of righteousness. The Holy Spirit continually leading us and prodding us into those paths of righteousness. But listen, we are kept by His power. Peter wants to remind these believers, listen, you've got a lively hope. You've got a lively hope. And this hope is an anchor for your soul. This hope is a sure hope. This hope is an eternal hope. This hope is an enduring hope. The reason why it's enduring is because God keeps us by His power. By His power. Through faith. I'm glad it doesn't depend on me to hold out. I'm glad it depends on my God. He's omnipotent. God can. He can keep me. He can guard me. You know, Jesus said in John 10, remember He talked about His sheep that follow me? And He said that how that they're in His hand. No man can pluck them out of His hand. And that they're also in the Father's hand. No man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. I mean, we're safe in His hands. He keeps us. He guards us. Keeps us safe. You know, when we cling to this hope, we cling to this hope that we have in Christ, it will help us to endure whatever storm we face. Whatever storm you face, this anchor will hold. It will hold. It will endure. Because I want you to notice, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, what is he talking about? He's talking about the consummation of our salvation. When you come to Christ, your soul is saved. You receive the salvation of your soul, he talks about in verse 9. You receive it by faith, but listen, it's not finished yet. I'm still in this old fleshly body. I still face temptation. I still have weakness. But one day when Jesus comes, at the last day, when He comes, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get a new body. If you're saved, you're going to get a new body. You're going to be glorified. Our salvation is going to be complete. It's going to be consummated. And listen, what He's saying here is that He's going to do it. He's going to fulfill it. We are kept through faith unto what? Salvation. That's going to be revealed in the last time. That's our hope. It's an enduring hope. And notice he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. See what I'm saying? When we have this hope, this anchor of the soul, we can rejoice. Not just rejoice, greatly rejoice. Now let's read on. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, I love the word season here. For a season. You know, I want you to think about this. The storms that we go through in this life, God is in complete control of. Complete control. And they don't last forever. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you glad they don't last forever? Aren't you glad that they're just for a season? You go through trials and suffering in your life. It's just for a season. God sometimes permits His children to go through the furnace. But listen, just like those that the sayer of metal, they would take gold and precious metals like silver and they would put it in the fire. Why? Because there's impurity in the metal. They would put it in the fire, and they would have their hand on the thermostat to make sure that they didn't destroy the precious metal. You know, you can destroy it. The sayer knew. I mean, when he would go in there and purify this metal of impurities, he knew exactly how much fire it could endure. He knew exactly how long it needed the fire. And listen, God has his hand on the thermostat in your life. He knows exactly when it's too much. He's not going to destroy you by your trials. That's not his intent. His intent is to purify. His intent is to, by the trial of your faith here in verse 7, which is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, he's referring to that very process of how gold and metal is being tried by fire. And though sometimes gold will perish, but he says, you're not going to perish. See, we have an anchor that holds. We have an anchor that will hold through the storm. I'm thankful for that. So thankful that God, through these storms and seasons of suffering, that he is preparing us for glory tomorrow. That's what he's doing. That's what he's essentially saying in verse 7. He said, if need be, though you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, notice this, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's prepping us for glory. Remember, that's one of the main themes of Peter, glory. Suffering, grace, glory, hope. These are all intermingled together here. These trying experiences that we may be going through today, just remember, God is using them to purify. He's got his hand on the thermostat. He's got his hand on the fire. He knows exactly how much is needed. You know what? If we submit to God in these trials and allow him to remove these impurities of our life, we won't have to go through the process again and again and again. Think about that one. I don't like trials of fire. But if I don't let God have his way, if I don't let God purify and purge me, then guess what? I'm going to have to go back in the fire again because there's still impurities there. See, it's so much better just let God have his way. You know, this hope is also a transforming hope. It's a transforming hope. I want you to notice here in verse 8 how that our hope carries with it a present dynamic that transforms how we respond to trials today. He says, whom having not seen, it's referring to Jesus Christ there in verse 7, whom having not seen, ye love. Now, what do you think about this? This enduring hope that we have in Christ, this lively hope that we have in Christ, it's a transforming hope. It helps us to respond to trials in a way that is, we could say, supernatural. What's one way that he says that we respond? Well, we love Jesus. If you are anchored in him, if you have this lively hope and you're fastened onto that hope, you're clinging to that hope. Listen, when you go through the fire, you love him. What did Job do when he went through the fire and lost everything? He lost all of his kids. He lost all of his possessions. He lost it all, even his own health. What did Job do? Did Job get bitter against God? Did Job get mad at God? No, the Bible says he fell down on his knees and worshiped God. He loved God. He trusted him. He trusted him. You know, here he says that whom having not seen ye love. Our love for Christ, it's not based on our physical eyesight. It's not based on us seeing Christ. We haven't seen Him. It's based on our spiritual relationship with Him and what the Word has taught us about Him as we walk with Him and we grow with Him in our faith. And the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts, as the Bible tells us. We love Him because He first loved us. And when we find ourselves in a season of heaviness, a season of manifold temptations, listen, we should immediately worship Him, love Him. That's what's amazing about it. That's what makes a Christian different from a person that has no hope. A person that has no hope, they go through fiery trials, what do? They blow up, they get mad, they unchristlike. Some people lose all hope in their lives. Listen, here he says it's a transforming hope that we have in Christ, and we love Christ. We love Him. Not only do we love Him, we trust Him. Notice what he says, though now you see Him not, yet believing. Believing. You go through the fires, you love Him, and you believe Him, you trust Him. That's what this kind of hope does. In a child of God, we fasten on this anchor, this hope, this anchor of the soul. Listen, it holds fast in the storm. It's sure and steadfast. This anchor that we have in Christ, when we go through the storm, we still praise Him in the storm. We still love Him in the storm. We still trust Him in the storm. But notice what else he says. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We rejoice in Christ. Isn't that amazing? This is a transforming hope. This transforms your life. When you have Christ in you, and this lively hope, when you realize what you have in Christ, listen, it transforms the way you live. It transforms how you respond to trials and how you fiery trial of your faith. You respond in love. You respond in trust. You respond in rejoicing. Notice he says, with joy unspeakable. Unspeakable. You can't even give words for it. To watch a Christian go through the fire and to rejoice. It's unspeakable and full of glory. Not only do we rejoice in Christ, we receive from Christ. In verse 9, he tells us, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know, the thing about going through trials with this lively hope, we receive a lot from Christ. Not just salvation, we receive grace, sufficient grace. Remember Paul, he went through the thorn in the flesh, prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this thorn from my life. It was some type of suffering. We don't know. It was maybe a health issue. I don't know. But Jesus revealed it was Satan sent a messenger to buffet Paul. And God allowed it to keep Paul humble and dependent on Christ. And he said, my grace is sufficient. And so he received from Christ, not deliverance from the thorn. Sometimes we don't get deliverance from the suffering. Sometimes we don't get out of the storm right away. But we get grace. We receive grace that brings us peace. Realizing that He's still in the storm with us. He's still present. And He's still sovereign. He's still loving. He's still working in our lives. So we trust Him. We love Him. We rejoice in Him. We receive grace from Him. With the goal being more like Him. You know, this salvation that we have in Christ, verses 10 through 12, I'm not going to spend much time here on these verses, but it's a salvation that the prophets of the Old Testament have inquired and searched diligently about, In fact, they had received from the Holy Spirit many prophecies about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall come. And they didn't understand it all, but they searched it and they diligently inquired after this salvation. And I like the end of verse 12, which things the angels desire to look into. Isn't that interesting? Listen, the salvation we have in Christ, it's something that the prophets long to know more about. They searched about it. Even the angels desire to look into it. We need to look into it ourselves. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to look into this. You need to inquire into this. Because the Bible does teach that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no way you could ever be good enough to make it to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. The scripture tells us that. But according to his mercy, he saved us. It's God's mercy. As Peter said, according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope. God did that. If you're saved, it was the work of God in your heart. As the gospel was preached, as he says in verse 12, notice what he says. But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. They preached this salvation, the gospel. The gospel is being preached to you today. I want you to skip ahead and notice verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We're born again by this word of God that lives and abides forever. As the word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit of God takes the word of God. He brings conviction of your sin. He shows you your need of Christ. Listen, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just to tell you, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And you need to repent of your sin. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Those are two commands of the gospel. Repent and believe. I've done my job now. The Holy Spirit's doing his work, convicting and calling and drawing you to Christ. Now it's your job to come to him. Now it's your opportunity to respond. To come, you can come to the altar, you can where you are, you can meet with us after church. We'll show you from the scriptures if you're uncertain about how to be saved. Listen, don't put it off. The prophets of old, they searched and acquired diligently. Man, we have the gospel today. We have the truth today. We have the complete word of God today. You can know Jesus and trust him as your Savior and be saved and have a lively hope, because I'm telling you, without hope, you cannot live. You cannot make it through the storms of life. They'll come crashing upon you and they will destroy your ship. They'll destroy your life. You must have an anchor that holds. An anchor of the soul. You must flee for refuge in Christ. And listen, Christian, if you've already done that, if you're here today and you know for sure you're saved, I'm just here to remind you of what you have in Christ. Whatever you're going through in this life, whatever storm, whatever season you're in today, just remember, we have an anchor that holds. That anchor is Jesus Christ. We need to renew that our mind with that truth. We have an anchor that holds. We have a salvation. We have a hope that's eternal, it's enduring, it's sure, it's transforming. It'll change us, it'll transform us, how we respond to trials today. I want you to stand with me, with your head bowed, your eye closed, your eyes closed, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful for the lively hope that you've given to those of us that have been born again. It's a hope that's an anchor of the soul. An anchor both sure and steadfast. An anchor that holds through the storm. Lord, I'm so thankful for these precious words that Peter has given us to encourage us in our tribulations and the trial of our faith. Lord, when we are being tried by fire, Lord, I'm thankful that we have an anchor that holds. It's a lively hope. It's an enduring hope that endures through the storms. It's steadfast. It's sure. It's certain. And Lord, this hope transforms us. It changes us. It causes us to love Christ and to trust Him and rejoice in Him and receive from Him, even in the midst of storm. Lord, thank You for what You've given us in Jesus Christ. Thank You for the salvation that we have in Him, an eternal salvation. Thank You, Lord, that we're kept by Your power, not by our own power, but by Your power. Lord, thank You for that. Lord, I pray You'd help every Christian here today to realize that You are the one that's in control of the storms of our lives. You're the one that's leading us, and we just need to look to You and trust You. Realize that we have a living, lively hope to hold us through these storms. We know that You're going to bring us through. You're going to purify us. You're going to help us to bring praise, honor, and glory to Your name. And Father, we pray for those here today that do not have this lively hope. They have never obeyed the gospel and repenting of their sin and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that today they would look to Jesus. They would trust Him as their personal Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open up this invitation.